Well, I'll tell you what, Keith is right. He has surrounded himself with greatness, but I'll tell you, I think we've got a pretty great worship leader myself. How about y'all? Let's give him a hand. Well, as Josh mentioned earlier today, yesterday was a great day. It was Great Outdoors Day. And we've been talking about that for a while, and we've been looking forward to it. And just as was advertised, it was a great day. And, you know, I thought about the day as I was thinking about all that happened last night as I was getting ready to speak today. And I thought about, and you'll kind of find out how my crazy mind works, but I thought about a line from a show that was on several years ago that I used to watch when I was younger. How many of y'all have used to watch The A-Team with Mr. T? And Mr. T had a lot of lines on his own, but there was another guy in there. I think his name was George Peppard. And he used to say, "I love it when a plan comes together." And that was kind of what I thought when I reflected back on Great Outdoors Day. I love it when a plan comes together. I love it when God's people in God's churches can come together as one body and work for the sake of the kingdom. Man, it is awesome to see people come together from different churches, different pastors. I even saw Perry Wolfe yesterday. Man, he was about to bust his buttons. Perry Wolfe just loves Great Outdoors Day. And so I love it when a plan comes together and people can come together and work for his kingdom. And then not only that, but I love it when I see our church working hard. Josh has already said that, but I tell you, I don't know of a harder working church than Hillcrest Baptist. When you guys grasp a vision and you see what God can do with it, man, you give it your all. And there were some people, and I'm not going to name names because I don't want to forget anyone. There were some people that were there at that camp by 4:30 in the morning, and they were still there 4:30 that afternoon. And I mean, people working hard. People working and making snow cones and cotton candy and wearing cotton candy all over them. And working the Papa Shot machine. You know, the basketball machine where you try to see how many you can make. Steven bought a couple of those to use this year. They're in our event trailer. I didn't know you could foul out playing Papa Shot. But I think if I'd have had a striped jersey, I'd have fouled out about a half dozen people. But I love it when a plan comes together. And then finally, I love it when a plan comes together and people get saved. I'll tell you what, not just once, but twice, we had a huge exhibition where, I don't know, several hundred people were gathered together watching some cool exhibits. I mean, it's cool to watch somebody crush cars with a big truck. And it's cool to watch somebody do a trap shooting exhibition that was just incredible. I mean, it was amazing. But not only that, but it's cool when people like that can get up and give a clear testimony, a clear story. In fact, the Gould brothers, I think they're going to picture them up on the screen in just a minute. They both talked about their story. They used the terminology we've been using on Sunday morning about sharing their story. And they both told about how they were saved during their college years and how God used that to prepare them for what they're doing today. Gave a clear testimony. And the gospel was clearly shared on both those occasions. And people raised their hand and indicated they were saved. Man, I love it when a plan comes together. But you know what, guys? I also love it when a plan comes together in a local church. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want you to continue to think about your story. Keep that on the front burner. Don't forget about it. And don't forget the first Saturday in May. I can't remember if it's May the 1st or May the 2nd. I wish I'd have written that. May 2. Thank you. On May the 2nd, we're going to have Mark Snowden here, and he's going to do a seminar starting at 8:30 and going until 4 o'clock. And we're going to talk about how you can begin to share your story and share Bible stories to witness to people. Use that as a witnessing tool. And so that's going to be at our church. And so you want to support that. And I certainly want people from our different Sunday school classes to be represented there, because that's how we're going to do evangelism for this season of the life of our church. So keep that on the front burner. But for the next couple of weeks, I believe God wants us to speak and talk about the plan coming together of how God wants to use you for the whole work of our church. I want to talk to you about spiritual gifts. And there's not a more important chapter in my mind in the Bible, not a more pressing chapter than 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to spend some time in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this week and next week. And as we think about spiritual gifts, I have three goals in mind. Three goals that I want for you and for me and for everyone in our church Number one is I want you to know what your spiritual gifts are. I want you to begin to determine what those spiritual gifts are. I want you to then, secondly, discover what area of service you're gifted in. Every one of you, if you're a born-again believer, you have an area of ministry God wants you to serve in. I want you to find that. Not just for me and for our church, but for you. Man, that's when life gets good. When you discover your area of service and your giftings. Thirdly, I want you to decide to use your gift. To make a conscious decision once you've uncovered it, once you've discovered how God might be gifting you. I want you to decide to use it. I want every member in this church to get involved in ministry, doing the work of the Lord. And the reason I do is because these are exciting times. Good things are happening at Hillcrest. We've got a building going up out there, and it's for God's glory. It's been for the right purposes. It's been done in the right way. It's been a vision for a long time. And ministry is going to occur in that building. But guess what? It's going to take gifted people to pull off those ministries. We're going to need every one of you involved. We're going to need you to discover your gift. And you know what? There may be ministries we're not even doing right now that God wants us to do when we get that building up. And so you need to be praying right now about, man, God, how can I get involved? What can I do? How can I be involved? So this is a timely opportunity to think about your spiritual gifts. And then secondly, also important is we've got a nominating committee that's going to be beginning to work. And you've probably saw in your bulletin today that there's an opportunity to take out a sheet of paper that's a volunteer survey form. Now, I'll talk more about that at the end of the message today, kind of tie it all together. But you need to begin to think about how you can be involved, and we need your feedback. Our church is big enough, I don't have chances to talk with all of you individually about this, and typically, we get about a third of these back, these sheets of paper. I'd like to get a lot more back this year. I'd like to hear from you about, really honestly, how you can serve. How you have served in the past. How God might be leading you to serve. Something you might have discovered just this year. Because guys, all of us need to be working together in the body. That's how a plan comes together. And just like George Peppard used to say, I love it when a plan comes together. I love it when God's plan comes together. So let's look at God's plan here regarding the church and regarding spiritual gifts. And it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to pick up in verse 1. And then we'll skip down and read through verse 11. About matters of the Spirit, brothers, I do not want you to be unaware. Let's skip down to verse 4. I'll talk about those other verses, but we'll skip down to verse 4. Now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God is active in everyone and everything. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person to produce what is beneficial. Then down in verse 11, it says, one and the same Spirit is active in all these. He goes through a list. We're going to talk about lists in just a minute. And the one and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing. Note here again the word each. That'd be a good word to underline if you'd like to do that. Distributing to each one as he wills. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you first of all for salvation. Lord, we have just come through a time where we celebrate the resurrection. We celebrate new life in Christ. We celebrate the hope of the empty tomb. God, I thank you that you freely forgive and freely save when we repent and trust you and believe and follow you. Lord, I also am thankful that it doesn't end there. That you begin a work in our lives and you begin to help us, to grow us and mature us so that we can discover a unique service to you. Something that no one else can do. You've created every one of us uniquely. Help us to grasp that, get a glimpse of that this morning. Help us to be excited about the fact that we are gifted. Every one of us. Now, we're not gifted the same way, but we have opportunities to serve you, to bring people to you, to encourage people who are around us to know you better and trust you more. just to edify and bless and encourage. What a great plan that is. Lord, help us to get just as excited about that as we are of the Great Outdoors Day or Vacation Bible School or big events that we do. Not that those are not important. Those are very important. But Lord, help us to be just as enthused about the daily working of the church and how we can plug in and be involved. Lord, I pray that You'd anoint me to preach this message today. Give us ears to hear and hearts that are quick to respond. And may Your Spirit be at work in this very place. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What is a spiritual gift? Let me ask another question. What is your spiritual gift? What is the purpose of a spiritual gift? And what is it that you need to do to serve the Lord by using your spiritual gift? A lot of you may not even know what a spiritual gift is. We want to talk about that. Spiritual gift is a brilliant plan that God has for us, and there's several ways to define it, but let me give you a definition that's going to be on the screen here in just a minute that I've come up with or I've seen, and I like this definition. A spiritual gift, can you guys put it up on the screen, is a God-given ability. It's something that God gives you in the Spirit after you're saved, and it enables a Christian. Spiritual gifts are for Christians. A non-Christian does not have a spiritual gift. He or she may have natural gifts, but he doesn't have a spiritual gift. A Christian, upon salvation, receives a spiritual gift that enables that person to effectively serve in the body of Christ. Gives you a personal mission that you can do in the body corporately. Now, hear me, and go ahead and leave that up there for just a minute. Some of you are writing that down. Every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. Let me hear you say, everyone. Everyone has a spiritual gift. You see it here again and again. The Spirit distributes to each one as He wills. Over in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, "Now grace was given to each one of us according to the Messiah's gift." So don't be telling this pastor, "Well, I'm saved, Pastor, but I'm really not very talented. I don't have any gifts." It's not right. Every single Christian has at least one gift. And honestly, I believe that most Christians have a spiritual gift mix. I believe that you probably have more than one gift, and you have a mix of gifts that God uses uniquely in a special way so that you can fulfill what you were designed to fulfill. You have a mission. You have a ministry. What does it say in Jeremiah 29? "For I know the plans I have for you. Plans for welfare and good. Plans for a hope and a future." God knows the plan He has for you. And you are His masterpiece. He has a special plan for your life. Now, that doesn't mean that you can choose to ignore your gift. It might lay dormant for years. It may be something that you have done for a while and then you get lukewarm and you maybe get away from the church. And you may not have done that for years. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14 says, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you." And later in 2 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy and says, "Therefore I remind you to keep ablaze the gift of God that is in you." So unfortunately, gifts can be ignored. They can be left undiscovered. That's kind of the tragedy of it all. Can you imagine the waste of someone not tapping into their potential, not using their spiritual gift? Now, I've said everybody has at least one gift, and that most people have a mix of gifts, but nobody has all the gifts. All right, I need to say that too from the outset. Nobody has every spiritual gift, nor is it necessary for people to say to you, "You need this gift," because nobody has all the gifts. We are made in such a way that we need each other. I need you, and you need me. You've heard me say it before, but there's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. Nobody should live isolated outside the body. Every Christian ought to be searching and trying to discover a body that's the right place for them to serve in and worship in and grow in. And so nobody has all the gifts, but every Christian has at least one. Now, there are, you say, "Well, Pastor, how do I know about these gifts?" Well, there are different lists of gifts in the New Testament. In fact, I think Norm's got it, maybe the verses to put up on the screen up there in just a second. I've also got it on the back of the bulletin today. These are the different listings of the gifts. You can look at it. There are six different lists that are in four passages in the New Testament. If you like to use mnemonic memory devices, just remember 12, 12, 4, 4. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. That's where the lists are. And you've got the lists here. Now, let me say something about spiritual gifts before we get into the message today. There's a lot of stuff about spiritual gifts that's kind of unclear and that people don't agree on. And there's a lot of things that we have to hold to humbly. You say, Pastor, are these all the spiritual gifts right here in these lists? Well, I don't know. I'm not sure. You see, these aren't uniform lists. They differ in the different parts of the Bible. And it may or may not be an exhaustive list. I'm not sure that it is. Some churches emphasize certain gifts over other gifts. Sometimes there's confusion over whether the gift is still in existence or not. Some would say, well, all of the gifts are still being used today. And others would say, no, some have ceased to exist. They were necessary in the early church, and they're not necessary today. There's a lot of differences of opinion, a lot of confusion. Some say, well, are spiritual gifts just the fruit of the Spirit? And that's not necessarily true. The fruit of the Spirit needs to be in all believers. Here's something else to think about. Some people might say, well, if you've studied it, you might say, well, okay, I know where my gifts are. I know what my gifts are not. That doesn't mean that you're off the hook with some of the disciplines that we're supposed to do. Because if you notice in this list, there's a gift of giving. And that gift of giving is a spiritual gift that some people have. But you may say, well, Pastor, I don't have the gift of giving. That doesn't mean you're not supposed to tithe. That doesn't mean you're not supposed to give to the church, okay? Or that gift of faith. That doesn't mean that we don't all have a measure of faith. Evangelism is another example. I really don't believe I have the gift of evangelism. But that doesn't mean that I'm not to share my faith. You know what? I've come to enjoy sharing my faith. I enjoy it. I love to share the gospel with others. But I don't believe I'm necessarily spiritually gifted there. So there are different gifts, but that doesn't mean that you're not to practice the spiritual disciplines in all the areas. I guess what I'm trying to say, the truth of the matter is there's a lot of confusion about spiritual gifts. There's a lot of things that people hold to and people disagree on and we're not sure about. But I'll tell you something. There are three things that I know about spiritual gifts. And that's what I want to hit on today as we introduce this topic. Three things that I know about spiritual gifts. And I know they're true in your life and they're true in mine. And I want to share those three things today. Number one, spiritual gifts are meant to be discovered. They are meant to be discovered. It is a shame if you're a Christian and you've been a Christian for any length of time today and you have no idea what your spiritual gift is. Now, I say that not to make you feel guilty, but I say that because that means that the church, a lot of times, is not doing their job. I didn't realize what my spiritual gifts were for the longest time. I was saved when I was 8 years of age. And I heard about spiritual gifts. I heard teaching on it really a total of about two or three times. I gave it a quick glance when I was in high school and youth group and maybe in college, but I really had no idea how I was gifted. And I want to share something with you. If I would not have spent time really looking and praying about where I was gifted spiritually, I wouldn't be up here today. But not only that, I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter if I'm a preacher or I've gifted in other ways. I would be a mediocre Christian today. I'd be saved today, but I probably would be a lukewarm Christian if I wouldn't have taken time to discover my spiritual gift. Guys, it is so important. Outside of my salvation, I don't know of anything that has revolutionized my life anymore as a Christian than discovering and using my spiritual gifts. Without it, I was destined to become a mediocre Christian. You see, I was an adult when I first heard teaching on spiritual gifts, really in-depth teaching. And actually, I heard it on the radio, on Christian radio. There's a plug for listening to Christian radio. I was still working at the time. I had my convenience store, and I'd be driving back and forth, and I would catch Chuck Swindoll's teaching sometimes on mornings when I drive over, and he started teaching on spiritual gifts, and I was hooked. I couldn't get enough of it. I ordered the cassette tape for it. I can't even play it anymore. But I got an in-depth study about what spiritual gifts are all about. And I'm not saying Chuck is right on every premise about spiritual gifts, but man, the Holy Spirit spoke through that man to help me understand I need to discover how God wants me to serve in the body. And it wasn't long after that that God began to give me opportunities to teach. You see, I believe that God has gifted me in two areas mainly. My mix mainly is in pastor-teacher, and that's one gifting, by the way. Now, there are some of you that have the gift of teaching. You may not be called to be a pastor, but that's a spiritual gift. Some of you love the study, and God has gifted me in that way. And I didn't understand that. I would have never thought of using that when I was younger. But God has gifted me in that area and in the area of mercy. I have the gift of mercy. And that's a behind-the-scenes gift. And by the way, not every pastor, a pastor doesn't have to have the gift of mercy. Some pastors don't. But that doesn't mean they're not a pastor. But anyway, that's part of my gift mix. You probably do have, if you're a Christian, you have a gift mix that God wants to share with you and show to you. And here's the thing. When you discover and begin to use your gift in ministry, whatever it is, whether it's a leader, whether it's administrator, whether it's showing mercy or helps or any type of area, pastor, teacher, any of these areas, nothing will bring you greater joy or fulfillment in your life. All of us are looking for fulfillment, right? All of us want to have... A lot of times the problem is we look for it in the wrong places. Man, life gets good when you begin to discover your gift and use it. You become part of something that's bigger than yourself. Have you ever been on a team that has been really successful, a winning sports team, or maybe a band, or maybe you've done a mission trip and you've gone somewhere and you see that you accomplished something you never could have done on your own? That's what I'm talking about. You're part of something bigger than just you. And folks, there is no work any more important than the work of the church, the work of the kingdom. I don't know what it is you do now. A lot of you have really important tasks and you're doing things that make a difference. I'm not slighting your job, but I thought about this and I was mentioning this in Sunday school today. Things that I'm really into right now, secular things or things that are in my life that aren't necessarily spiritual, they're important and they might matter 20 years from now. Not much is going to matter 100 years from now. None of it's going to matter in all eternity except for what I've done for the kingdom. So the work that we do right here is important work. And there's all kinds of work to be done. And here's another thing too, and then I'm going to get into the points. But when you discover your giftedness, it takes away guilt. It takes away burden. Some of you today, we have a little problem here. And I hate to say this because, man, we need people. Some of you are doing too many things. Some of you are actually on the verge of burnout because you're doing some things you weren't gifted for. And there's others who are on church welfare and they need to step up and be a part. You know what church welfare is? That's when you're receiving from the church, you're not giving anything back. But some of you need to be involved because there's others that are doing things they really weren't shaped to do, and they're doing it because they love the church, they want to see it get done. And so all of this comes into balance when you discover and put your spiritual gifts to use. Let me give you some things that will happen when you discover your spiritual gift, okay? When you discover your spiritual gift, you clarify God's will for your life. A lot of you have even told me in conversation, well, I'm trying to find God's will for my life. What does He want me to do? Or what does He want me to do in this season of my life? Man, if you know your spiritual gift, then you have that clarified. And let me assure you, God has not designed us to be spectators, but participants. He wants you to participate in His work here at Hillcrest, no matter where you are, what season you are in your life. But not only that, when you discover your spiritual gift, or gifts, or mix, you benefit the whole church. Everybody benefits. You need to understand, you may think, man, I'm not a teacher, I'm not a deacon, I'm not a leader in the church. Some of you guys out there, you bless me. All of you out there bless me, but I'll be with you guys, and you'll be doing a gift and using it, not even realize it. And you'll bless me. Some of you write cards and nobody else knows about it. Some of you make visits during the week and nobody else knows about it. Phone calls. Some of you are prayer warriors. And you're blessing this pastor and you're blessing others in the body. When you discover your gift, you benefit the whole church. But you know what's most important? When you discover your gift, you glorify God. Everybody here is wanting to be glorify God or you wouldn't be here. You glorify God when you say, Lord, I sense and I see how you're wanting to work through me and I want to glorify you. Isn't that what it's all about? That we can give glory and honor to our Savior and to our Lord and to our Creator. Listen to this quote by John MacArthur. And then I'll move on to the next point. A believer who doesn't have a ministry is a contradiction. You're denying God the right to use you in the way He has gifted and prepared you to be used. So you're denying God the right. You're not allowing God to be glorified through you when you don't discover your spiritual gifts. So first thing today that I know about spiritual gifts is that they are meant to be discovered. You need to discover how God wants you to serve in the body. But here's the second thing I know about spiritual gifts, okay? And we're going to talk more about this next week as we get more into chapter 12. Spiritual gifts are meant to be diverse. Spiritual gifts are intended to be diverse. What I mean by that is different. Look with me back in verse 4. Let's go back to verse 4. And I want you to pick up on some phraseology here. Verse 4, look with me in the Bible, says, now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God is active in everyone and everything. You see, we aren't meant to be good at the same thing. We aren't meant to be passionate about the same thing. And sometimes, folks, that's where problems occur in churches. People think they're more spiritual than somebody else, or they think maybe they're less than somebody else. Both of those are wrong attitudes. The words different and the same are key words in this passage. We have different experiences, different gifts, different ministries, but God is the same God who is behind them all. Now, I'm not talking about different doctrine. There are some essentials that we hold to, and we hold on to those key doctrines, but there are different passions and ministries and giftings that we all have. You see, Paul wanted the church at Corinth to understand, as well as us, that no one person is meant to be a one-man show. No one is meant to have all the gifts. And so God has designed us to need each other and to work with each other, and we serve a God who loves diversity. I don't know if you've thought about that. Now, I know you're looking around, you're saying, well, our church isn't all that diverse. I don't mean ethnically. That'd be a good thing. I guess let me back up and say it is true ethnically. But I'm also talking about in other ways. I love it when God brings different ethnicities together, but He also brings together people of different backgrounds, people of different interests, people of different income levels, people with different experiences, and people with different spiritual gifts. God is a God who loves diversity. Now you think about it. He gave us a unified word that we use called the Bible. And you know it has 66 different books written in different times and periods of history by different authors. And in fact, even the gospel message itself is given by 4 different authors from a different perspective. God loves diversity. So let's be happy and celebrate the fact that we're different. Man, if we were all the same, it'd be boring. And not only that, but we wouldn't get the job done. Let me tell you some things that diversity does. And we're not going to talk anymore about diversity today. We're going to talk more about it next week. First of all, diversity keeps the body balanced. Diversity keeps the body balanced. All of these different spiritual gifts in this body at Hillcrest is designed for a purpose to keep us moving in different directions. We need people who will be passionate and leaders in missions. We need people who will be passionate about how we need to improve our facilities here. We need people who will be passionate about how we can reach people right here in this neighborhood. We need people who will be passionate about prayer ministries. We need people who will be passionate about teaching and education. And we need people who will be passionate about children and how we can reach children for the gospel and how we can disciple them. And we need people who will be passionate about senior citizens and how we can care for them and small groups. All of these things, we need people, and we need diverse people. And so if God has called you to a certain ministry, it may be hard for you to understand why you're being called to that. And it may not be what your friend over here is doing. But listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to His leadership. And talk to your pastor about it. Spend some time praying about it. It may be something that God wants you to do for the sake of the kingdom. Number two, diversity, our second bullet point. Diversity keeps the church healthy. Diversity is what keeps us healthy. Since every believer has a spiritual gift, the burden of ministry doesn't need to fall on a few or on one person. And it's wrong to expect everyone to do everything. And it's also wrong for us to just go in one direction and be all about one thing. Overloaded people not getting anything done well. We need to find a balance, and that's what we're striving for through our spiritual gift mix. But lastly, diversity helps keep the focus clear. You may not realize this, but really what's happening when we're diverse is the focus is clear. And the focus needs to be on Jesus Christ. All of our eyes are drawn to Him. And all of our mission, all of the work we do, all of the things we accomplish is for His kingdom, for His glory, that He'll be lifted up, and that people, all kinds of people, will be drawn unto Him. So diversity keeps the focus clear. And we glorify Him, and we honor Him for what He's doing in our midst. It's kind of like a football team. Think about, you can do any number of illustrations, but a football team has a division of labor, doesn't it? There's one goal in mind, and that's to win the game. But there's lots of different positions or role players in that game. You've got guys that play wide receiver, and you've got guys that block other people and knock them on their backside. Now those guys that knock others on their backside, if I were to try to put them and make them a wide receiver, that'd be a debacle. In most cases anyway, because they're not made to do that. They'd be uncomfortable, they'd be unhappy, probably they'd quit the team. Because they're made to knock people on their backside. And then there's that guy over there that's meant to be the kicker. And his job is to come in at certain times, and he's got a very important role to play. We've got to appreciate one another, and we've got to all work together for the common goal of the spread of the gospel. And we've got to understand and appreciate different spiritual gifts. And so diversity is important. That's something I know. Spiritual gifts are intended to be diverse. So spiritual gifts are intended to be discovered. They're intended to be diverse. And there's one last point today. Spiritual gifts are intended or meant to equip us to bless others. They are meant to equip us so that we can bless other people. Now again, we're going to talk more about this next week. There's differences of opinions about gifts and about how they're used and what they're all about. Whatever you think about gifts, whatever you think about these lists that we see here on these sermon notes, if you're not using this gift that you're uncovering to bless your brother or your sister that's sitting out here with you today, or that brother or sister that's homebound and can't get here today, or that one who's in the hospital, or that one who's lost out there, then you don't understand spiritual gifts. Paul is so clear all through this section of 1 Corinthians, leading through chapter 14. Spiritual gifts are intended to build up the body. They are meant to encourage other people. They're meant to enrich the lives and impact other people who are around you. And if you're not using your spiritual gift for that, you're missing the boat. You're missing the boat if you're not using it to bless. And so therefore, there's not a pecking order in the Christian church, in the body of Christ. Those who serve on deacon boards, those who pastor, are not more important than those who work in the nursery or those who work in children's ministry. They're both vital ministries. Sometimes they're both difficult ministry. Sometimes they both require changing dirty diapers. No, I didn't say that. I shouldn't have gone there. No, they both require getting your hands dirty sometimes. Both of them are used for kingdom purposes if they're used for the right reason. Those who teach Sunday school are not more important or significant than those who work in the kitchen, or those who drive the vans, or those who do any number of behind-the-scenes ministries, those who work in the sound booth. All of us have important ministry to do. And the cool part about it is even if it's behind the scenes and I feel like nobody really cares, nobody knows the hours I spend, when you're doing it for the Lord and you're doing it for the right reason, I'm part of the body and I'm blessing others through this ministry, man, that's when life gets good. Many of us have this idea, I'm afraid. And this is why some people don't go here and don't try to discover their spiritual gift. They have this idea that working for the Lord is unpleasant work. That, man, if I really sell out and I'm all in, then I'm going to have to give up all my fun. I'll give up all the things I enjoy doing. Nothing could be further from the truth. Do you know God made you? He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows the interests He gave you. He knows the skills and talents He gave you. He knows the spiritual gifts He's given you. And I don't think that He wants to take everything away from you. I think He wants to use what He's made you to be for His glory. So you need to celebrate that. It's a joy. It's a privilege. And it's a responsibility. So let me ask you today, what is your spiritual gift? Do you have any idea? Some of you may be saying today, I really don't know. And that's okay. We're just getting started in this. But I want you to begin to think about it today. I want you to really begin to consider and pray where you are spiritually gifted. And if you say, well, I'm not gifted, I know I'm not, maybe you need to ask if you're saved today. If you really know Jesus Christ today, because every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. And let me tell you some good news. Every one of you are vitally important. You are important. You know what? If any one of you is not serving and not a part of this body, God's brought you here for a reason. Then we're missing something. Our church will never maximize its potential until all of you are working and serving together and discovering your place of service. And let me tell you something else. When you begin to use your spiritual gift, when you begin to see it what it is, and you see how that matches the ministries and needs of the church, it's so exciting because you become part of something bigger than yourself, part of a great work. I believe that Hillcrest is poised to do a great work. God wants to do a great work in this community, and you can be part of it. But you need to begin to discover how God has gifted you. But let me share three things, three more bullets with you, and then I'm done today. These are some thoughts about discovering your ministry for blessing and enriching the lives of others. Only you can serve like you. There will never be another Christian like you. I want you to understand that today. That's true. I know you've heard it said, you know, I could leave and there wouldn't even be a ripple effect in this church. Well, it may not be noticeable, but yes, there would. Because God, when He made you, He threw away the mold. There's not another person that's shaped like you. With the same spiritual gifts, the same heart, the same ability, the same experiences, the same personality. Only you can be you. And that's why this pastor grieves when anyone leaves this church. Much less when they leave it when they're upset. But you need to be serving. You're uniquely designed to fulfill a specific purpose. You're important. You're necessary. And we'll say more about that next week. Number two, you will never accomplish all God wants to do through you without us. You need us to do what God's called you to do. You need to do it in the work and in the context of a body, a community of believers. And again, Paul gives a really cool illustration. I'm going to show that next week about the body working together. Thirdly, the best way to glorify God on earth is to love others. We talk a lot about that, don't we? We regularly quote about how we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. We talk about how Jesus said they will know that we are Christians by our love. Well, the best way to do that is to begin to love others. And the best way to love others is by using your spiritual gifts to love them. And so love is the motivating, driving, underlying force behind your Christian life. And it's going to be part of your spiritual gift. It's no accident. Y'all know what's in chapter 13, right, of 1 Corinthians, after this whole section on spiritual gifts? The love chapter. Now, I know we use that at weddings, and we should. But that is just as much about you loving your brother and sister in the Lord as it is about loving your spouse. All right? So, love. The best way to glorify God on earth is to love others. Now, let me say one more thing before I finish today. You'll see a website up there. If you want to begin uncovering your spiritual gift, I want to give you a tool to help you. And this is something that I do and I use in our new members class that we teach on Sunday morning during Sunday school time. And it's a way that, it's actually Lifeway puts it out, but it's a way that you can begin to think about it. The only way you'll know for sure is to do it. To say yes to an opportunity to serve. But you can take this spiritual gifts inventory free. It's a link on our website up there, LebanonHBC.com. And if you need a hard copy, I can print one out for you, okay? But you need to begin to think about that. You need to take this inventory and then couple it with this form, this volunteer survey form that is due 2 weeks from today, April 26th. And I want you to please pray about how you can serve in this church because we need you. Hillcrest is at a crossroads. There are some that are tired in this church. Some that are getting older. Some need to step up. We need some younger people. I was looking at Awana the other night. Nothing against anybody, but man, it would be awesome to see some young men helping in Awana. You can be a new believer and help in Awana. You don't have to be trained in the Bible to do that. It would be awesome to see some young people help in some other areas. And I'm not just picking on young people. There are some other people that need to step up as well. But we're at a crossroads. Some people are overworked. Some people are underworked. We need to find that balance again. And we've got some great things are going to be happening. And my prayer is that a revival is going to happen. I think it will when Constructors for Christ come in and we get some of this building going. And we're going to be revived. We're going to be excited about how God might want to be using us by the fall or even by the late summer. So here's what I want you to say today. I want to close. This is I'm not even sure who this statement is attributed to, but I like it. And I've used it before. And I want this to be on your heart and your mind today as we close. It says, I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And what I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do. Hillcrest, I hope that's your heart today. Let's bow and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you that you have such a great plan for us as Christians. You know, I've wondered sometimes, Lord, why with the way this world is and the way things are headed, why once you get saved, you don't just call us on home. Lord, I know the answer to that. It's because you have a plan and a purpose for our lives. Whether we're on this earth for another 5, 10, 20, 40, 50 years, when we are saved, when we become followers of Christ and believers in Jesus, man, that's not just heaven insurance. That's a new plan. That's a plan for our lives now, and it's a plan for a community of believers. I pray that we catch that spirit. Lord, you have positioned and put us in a place where we can do some great things, not so we can stick out our chests and say, look at us, but because we can be a part of your glory. We can bring honor and glory to you. And Lord, you've put different people here with different talents and abilities and spiritual gifts. Lord, help us to get excited about that. Help us to get excited about the building that's going on the outside, but help us to be excited about the building that's taking place on the inside. And Lord, in that light, I pray that if there's anyone here today that needs to be saved, you've been speaking to them, not just today, but you've been drawing them from it for a long time. Help them to be courageous today and take a step of faith. Maybe somebody needs to come forward and make a public profession of their faith in Christ. Maybe somebody needs to pray at this altar, rededicate their lives. If there's somebody that needs to make a decision today regarding their relationship with you, help them to do that. Just remind us right now. Give them courage and remind them that if we draw near to you, you promise to draw near to us. Thank you for being such a loving, faithful Heavenly Father. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.